You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode contains topics that some listeners may find triggering. See the episode description for more information. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper. And you're listening to our episode with Queen Elsa herself, Casey Levy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Mama's Talking Loud. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper. And today we have the one and only Casey Levy with us.
Yay!
Welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, ladies. So happy to be here.
You may know Casey from just a few different Broadway shows.
Just
I think most currently she is Elsa in Frozen on Broadway, which little girl dreams,
yes,
I'm sure.
Fully.
She's also, you've seen her in Les Mis and Ghost and Wicked and Hairspray, and coming up, she's going to have a busy spring as she is in the revival of Caroline or Change. So thank you for making time this morning to come be with us before a two-show day.
Total pleasure. Happy to be here.
So obviously, Casey is a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your son.
So my son is almost four. His name is Isaiah. We call him Z. Or Zaya, or a million other things. He is the best. It's doing Frozen's the first time I've done 8 shows a week on Broadway as a mom. And I've been doing it for 3 years of his life. So I started the lab after he turned 1. So he's only ever known me as Elsa. And
what is that for a kid?
It's crazy.
My mom's Elsa. Right.
Yeah, he sleeps with his Elsa doll every night and calls it Mama Elsa.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It's pretty yummy.
So sweet.
Yeah, there's been like a whole host of special little things like that tied up in this experience. But yeah, he's a real like boundless energy boy running around. He's really into music. He knows all the words to all the songs in Frozen. Mm. Well, all the rhythms and melodies, I should say, and some of the words. Mm. He's super musical and super funny. And yeah, he's just been the best.
Has he seen he's seen you in the show.
Yeah, he's seen it a few times. He's seen it, I think he's been out front 3 or 4 times. And then he also one time watched Let It Go from the wings with David, my husband. And our whole stage management team, like, set it all up and he was able to like watch the dress change and we have some really special pictures from that.
Magical. So.
But yeah, he thinks he owns the theater. Like
of
when
course.
He comes,
sure.
He runs, he wants the crew to turn on the turntable. He runs all over the stage. He goes to the basement. He wants to look at all of the mechanics. He's really into like how things work. Mm. So yeah, it's pretty
oh,
cool.
Oh boy. That's
so
exciting.
Special.
Yeah.
So let's start at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So what got you there? You had a little bit of an interesting journey with your pregnancy. So why don't we kind of go through that?
Mm-hmm.
Were you working at the time you got pregnant? Give us all the goods.
Yeah. I had just finished Les Mis, which I think was like the show and role that pushed me into really knowing I was ready to be a mom playing Fontaine.
It
was
oh my
like,
God.
Sort of like a dark coming
dark
to
take.
The
well,
realization.
It's like singing it. When I would audition for it, I auditioned for it before I became a mother. And then I remember going in after I had become a mother and singing Fontaine's Death when she's like, take
Forget
my
it.
Child, I give her to your keeping. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh yes.
Oh my God.
Truly heinous.
It's on a whole nother level. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So like I'd just been doing that and I was exhausted and it was a really great experience, but I was very ready for a break. And we got pregnant right away and we lost that pregnancy. And then that was, you know, it's all its own bunch of issues and heartache and everything. But luckily we got pregnant again and that was Isaiah. And I wasn't working during the first trimester, but I was set to do a show off Broadway, Michael John Lacusa's First Daughter's Suite at the Public. And I was very anxious about telling people I was pregnant because I knew I had that job coming up, but it hadn't started, and I wasn't sure how it all worked with equity and how, you know, could I lose my job if I said I was pregnant, and I didn't know how my pregnancy was going to go or how much I was going to show, and I was playing real people that are still alive. And so, as you can see, like, a lot of anxiety. but I just sort of, like, trucked along, and I told them, I think, the second day of rehearsal, and they were all incredible about it. But by that time, I was already experiencing a lot of complications with my pregnancy. So
how far along were you at that point?
I started right at the top of my 12th or 13th week.
Oh, wow.
So
oh,
I had just finished the first trimester when I started rehearsals, and it wasn't showing at all. I mean, I felt like I was, but I wasn't.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. I was already, like, trying on the stretchy maternity jeans.
And it gets so much
It's exciting
more...
to begin with, right?
You're oh,
like,
my
I
gosh.
Can't wait to wear maternity clothes, and by the end, you're like, get me off.
Yeah, completely. So, yeah, we knew early, I want to say, like, 14 or 15 weeks, I think it was the 15-week scan, actually, that that I had intrauterine growth restriction. So we knew that the baby was going to be on the small side and that the baby might not be growing well inside my womb, and that I had low fluid and I had placenta issues. Mm-hmm. So it very quickly became like a scary time. But it wasn't terrible really until 5.5 months, right when I was finishing the run. Mm-hmm. And that's when... we started to realize that, like, every 2 weeks with the growth scan that the baby wasn't growing. And my whole world just became about that. So David was finishing his second master's degree at the time, and he was constantly out of school. We were going to doctor's appointments every other day. We were getting ultrasounds every 3 days a week to monitor the fluid, the placenta, the movement. There was, like, a time where he didn't move for a while in the middle of a snowstorm. He had to walk to one of the hospitals because we couldn't get a cab and get monitored. So all these things that I'm sure many women listening have experienced varying levels of throughout their pregnancy, and especially your first pregnancy where you're like, I don't know what's happening. And then when, of course, you have complications and the doctors are like, you know, this is not a typical pregnancy, you start to panic a little bit more.
Yeah.
So in the end, we were really weighing how long we should keep him in versus when we should pull him out. So I had taken, you know, the birthing classes and every sort of prenatal class, the breastfeeding class, and then I had to sort of reconcile knowing that, like, I probably wouldn't have a vaginal birth, I'd probably have an emergency C-section, all these things that, like, I would never feel like what it would feel like to labor naturally, all these things I sort of had to, like, say goodbye to during the pregnancy, which I found very difficult in the time, probably because of the stress surrounding the whole thing, of what I sort of ingested as, like, how to be pregnant this day and age.
Well,
like,
the pressure and the judgment and the,
Like drinking the Kool-Aid as far as, like, this is what pregnancy needs to look like, or it's not valid, or it's not good, or it's not healthy, or... So I was realizing at the time, like, oh, wow, all these things are really, like, doing a number on my psyche and my psychological health and my relationship. And, you know, and I was just trying to keep the baby chill. We kept, you know, telling the baby, like, you just relax in there. We'll do the stressing for you, which only sort of worked. But anyways, in the end, I had an emergency C-section at 34 weeks. We were able to keep him in pretty long, but he was only 3 pounds. So then he was in the NICU for 3 weeks, which was something else I wasn't prepared for and I knew nothing about. So all those stories and articles and mom blogs about, like, when they give you your baby 2 days after you deliver and you take him home and you're like, what do we do with the baby? We didn't have that. Mm. So I was sitting by his isolate from 6 a.m. until 11 p.m., pumping, nursing when he could because he had a feeding tube. He was so tiny, he would fall asleep when nursing. So they had to feed him with his little tiny nugget.
Tiny,
yeah,
tiny.
He was like the size of this coffee cup. It was nuts.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, we had the best care in the NICU, Mount Sinai, Upper East Side. They were amazing, and they taught us a lot. And it was really scary and really sad to come home to not having our baby at the house. But we also knew that we were in good hands there and that he was healthy. He was just tiny. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're in the
NICU. What a relief, I'm sure, after the journey of your pregnancy, not knowing and
yes.
all the
we
scans
were really
and being
grateful.
So worried the whole time when he was out and he could maybe, I mean, it was still, he was still in the NICU, but he was getting the attention he needed.
100%. Yeah, I mean, you see all of the ranges of what can happen in the NICU too. And, like, these NICU nurses, they are angels on earth. What they do, especially, like, us as actors, we're used to people being like, oh my God, you're changing lives. And you sometimes are like, what?
No,
no,
I'm not.
Yeah.
No, they are literally.
They literally do. Mm-hmm. They are really, I mean, just wildly amazing. And so I was able to find a lot of comfort in that. But I was also dealing with, like, the hormone drop off after you deliver a baby. So I'm a little depressive to begin with, plus the anxiety of my kid being in the NICU, plus the hormone drop off, plus breastfeeding and figuring that out, which is a total shit show, pardon my French. So I was crying a lot, and my mom and dad were in Canada and they were visiting and helping as much as they could, but they're not really allowed in the NICU. So it was a lot. And when we brought him home, it was so joyful and amazing. And he was just a tiny little dude. And then began the journey of figuring out, you know, how to be a working actor and having a new little baby at home. And actually, this is a good little tidbit. I remember, I think the second week after he was born, you know, still have gauze on my C-section scar, still taking pain medicine. I went in and auditioned for Grizabella in Cats because I was like, well, she sings one song. It's a shitload of makeup. But other than that, it's kind of a good track. And I was in the waiting room of the NICU being like, memory, practicing it. Psycho.
The things we do.
The things we do and the things we think are expected of us and the hamster wheel we're on.
Well, because we also, I mean, let's be honest, what we do, people tend to write us off once we become a mother. You know what I mean? It's like no matter what level you're on of your career, you know, I think people decide, oh, well, she's a mom, so she's not going to do it
anymore.
Yeah, or
if you take time away for any reason, they
heaven forbid, you know, it's like the business will still be there. I remember my agent saying that to me, you know, when I was stressing about it, and he was like, the business will always be here.
It's so true.
It will be.
But it doesn't feel like that.
Life will be. It doesn't at the time. And I think back, I was just talking, a friend of mine went to her first audition back after having a baby and just yesterday, and she was texting with me, and I remember, I said to my husband, I was like, I remember that feeling of like, oh my God, will the baby be okay without me? Like checking in constantly and like trying to prep and like everything feels so massive.
It does.
You know?
It's
and
so
you look back and you go, I mean, yes, it is, but also the perspective of where you've come from and it's all just life.
You figure it out.
You
part
figure it out.
You
yeah,
have to
exactly.
go through that too.
And you talk to other moms, like you were talking to your friend, like, I'm sure that
I was like, it's
going to
be okay. Yeah. I was like, keep breathing. Mm-hmm. He's not going to know you were gone. You know what I mean? Like he's 2 months old. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah. Wow. I'm trying to think of what.
So you went and auditioned for Grizabella.
Yeah, that was heinous. Did it.
2 weeks, Casey.
Yeah,
I
know.
And dumb. With the C-section, I had two emergency C-sections. And I, like, even the breathing to sing is difficult with that scar and that pain. I can't really.
So after you did that one, did you say maybe I should step back for a minute?
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to hold off. Luckily, there's nothing else this season because he was born in February. So, like, everything was cast. And I was like, cool, I'm going to take a sec. But then, then my friend who sings backup for Rod Stewart was like, hey, one of the backup singers is leaving and we need a new backup singer. And I was like, wow, I'm never going to work again. Cause this is what I always think, especially after having a baby. I'm like, oh, no one's hiring me. So, okay. I guess I should try to be a backup singer for Rod Stewart. So I when he was 5 months, we went out to Las Vegas, just me and him and a nanny. And I put on a shimmy dress and high heels and was a backup singer for 6 weeks for Sir Rod. And that was actually
pretty cool.
That was my first job post baby. And it was terrifying. Mm. I was really convinced that I couldn't do it, which was interesting. I mean, it was out of my wheelhouse in that I was dancing the way I hadn't danced since I was in Hairspray when I was 26. So I was doing all these sexy dance moves that I've been parking and barking for a while, so I was like, okay, got to get that skill brushed up. But I also was just really feeling like I didn't know what I was doing for some reason. And I think I had been dealing with some postpartum depression and anxiety about how Isaiah was doing as a tiny little baby and as a preemie. And so I don't think I was totally ready, but it's good that I did it in the end. And I'd had a great experience and I felt I can do this once I was out there doing it. But rehearsing for it was really scary. And I imagine a lot of moms, their first job back after having a baby.
Well, and also mom brain.
Oh
right?
My gosh,
I
yes.
mean, that's a very real thing. And
trying
to learn something, especially like you said, it's not in your wheelhouse. It's not what you do all the time.
Yeah.
So having to use different muscles and also still being the mother of a, 5-month-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, totally. And not having my partner with me because he was teaching. So it was a big adventure, but it was a short gig too. And so I could sort of see an end to it.
It's a nice way to kind of dip your toe back in.
It was.
Be like, can I do this? Okay, I can do this.
It was, yeah. And I felt very empowered at the end of it, which was great. And we got, we got to spend some time out in the desert, which was cool. And he swam for the first time in Vegas in our little hotel swimming pool. So we have really special family memories from that time.
After Rod Stewart, what was the next step in your journey?
Yeah, so I think I actually auditioned for one of the labs of Frozen before Rod Stewart. I did. Yeah, in April. So Z was probably like 2 months old. And I auditioned for Elsa for the first time and had some callbacks when Alex Timbers was still directing. Didn't get the lab. Went and did Rod Stewart. Came back in the end of the summer, I believe. Yeah, early fall. And I think soon after that, I had my next Elsa audition when Michael Grandage was on board. And then I knew pretty... Oh, no, then I was going in for Waitress. So I was auditioning for other jobs. And I was going to do Waitress. Oh. And then I didn't because I got Elsa. And it was, like, very wonderful and very sad at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I felt I was going to be, you know, the first real mother to have played that role in Waitress. And I felt very connected to it because Everything Changes was playing when Isaiah was born.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
So because this is actually something maybe relatable to other moms listening, because my pregnancy was such a crazy time, one of the only things I could control was the music that would be playing in the delivery room. Mm-hmm. So I was like kind of obsessive about the playlist, and I was like trying to make it super chill and super yummy feeling because I knew that the day they said, this is the day you have to go to the hospital, that we wanted it to be like, this is our baby's birthday. This isn't scary. This is happy. Mm-hmm. So the playlist was part of that. And I knew that I wanted Everything Changes on that because I remember when, before the show started, Gavin Creel, who's one of my best friends and who's one of Sarah's best friends, had sent me the song and was like, you got to listen to this. Look at what Sarah wrote without ever being a mother. And I was like, oh no, my God, so this song. Yeah. So it was on there from her concept album. And it was playing the moment they delivered him. Isn't that nuts?
So, yeah.
So through my auditions, I was like, I had a little, I had Isaiah's little passport photo taped to my sides so that I could like look at him while I was, yeah. So anyhow, Elsa came along and it was like, it just was one of those auditions and one of those moments in the room as we all have had where you're like, oh, this is, there's something, this is the thing. And, I was so excited that I was getting a chance at it, and I almost didn't go to my audition because I had a cold and I thought I was going to sound bad, so thank God I went.
Good thing.
Just go to the audition, folks. Right. Just go. And and then I started it when he – so he turned one in February, and I started the lab in April. Okay. And that was sort of the beginning of the journey.
And that was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I remember that time because everybody was – well – I remember going in for all those things too, you know, like it was like every girl
all of us,
it's like going in and doing it. And then, you know, word starts to spread. It's like, oh, Casey's doing Frozen and Betsy's going into Waitress and like all the people doing all this, you know, it was a fun time, but you, I remember personally being like, oh, Casey's not doing Waitress because I just thought you're, knowing you and the energy and your soul and your spirit, who you are, I remember thinking, oh, she would be a fantastic Jenna.
Oh,
like
thanks,
singing
girl.
That and having the connection. Cause I do think about that. It's like singing that music as a mother is a whole different.
Yeah. I think Nicolette level. Is the only, mother.
Oh, Jordan.
Oh, and Jordan's
Jordan
a mother.
Sparks.
Okay.
Yeah. She's a mom. Yeah.
Amazing.
So two moms.
It is. It is. I mean, I certainly don't think you need to be a mom to play that part, but I do because we're all actors and we can do it. But like there is something deeper and more beautiful about having been through that in your own life and then getting to do that on stage. I think like now when I think back to my roles as Fantine and also when I was doing Murder Ballad playing a mom, I wasn't a mom yet. So it'd be really interesting to go back and like reexamine those parts now that I am a mom and just see where, you know, what choices you make.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. So then you are Elsa.
Yes.
Oh, boy. And just a little pressure on that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So in some ways it was good to have Isaiah in a lot of ways. I mean, in every way. But like especially as far as the pressure goes with Frozen, it was good because it didn't allow me to obsess over all the things that could go wrong.
Right.
Which I mean, still did.
Do you find that like, I'm Kara and I've talked about this. It's like, I find that just in general with auditions now, you know, I mean, there's a certain weight. I mean, there's a I should say there is still a weight with, you know, oh, I need a job so I can provide for my child.
Yeah.
But there's also this sort of feeling of like, this isn't the most important thing anymore.
It's freeing.
Because when you're younger, it's so massive. All of it just feels so heavy in the pressure and I have to succeed and I have to do this and I have to book this gig. And now you go in the room and it's just like,
yeah,
life moves on.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to leave it at the door to, and
And please, I mean, the preparation for an audition now.
Yep, that's the main
thing. You have to be so much more efficient and focused. And I look back at my younger years and I think, God, I wasted a lot of time not preparing for auditions. And I would be prepared. It's not that. Mm-hmm. But how much better and more efficient I am at doing it now because the time is so finite.
I totally agree. I think that's the biggest shift is like now I'm like, well, I have 20 minutes to learn these sides, so I'm going to learn them. Mm-hmm. And then I have to make lunch. I have to get this child down for a nap or the rest of the day is screwed. Mm-hmm. So like you figure it out. And my agents, annoyingly, they bug me when they say this, but they're right. They're always like, oh, ever since you became a mother, everything is so much better. You're way more chill. You're booking everything. Because I'm like, I don't have any time.
Right.
You know, and you're so much less precious about yourself because you have to be. Because mm-hmm. it really isn't the first thing anymore. But then when you get to work on the audition material, when you get to audition, you enjoy it more
exactly.
too.
It feels like a treat.
What you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you can clue back into that part of you that was there before you became a mom.
Totally. Totally.
Because it's so easy to just get swept up in the mom life.
And even you're talking about making it precious. I even feel like my choices and sides, it's like easier to make choices because I just like go with that gut, right? Like I don't have to like obsess over every little thing because you don't have the time to.
No, and you trust yourself in a way that like I don't think I ever trusted myself before.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, this is what I got. Mm-hmm. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. They'll either dig it or they won't, and that's totally cool.
Exactly. And that's cool because mm-hmm. my kid's at home and she thinks I'm the best.
That's right. That's right. It's so wonderful.
So you did the lab of Frozen, one of the labs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last lab before we went into production.
So then you guys went to Denver,
yes.
right? And Z would have been small.
Yeah,
because that
was a year and
summer.
A half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did he come with you?
Yeah, he came with me and a nanny again because David was finishing. Actually, David was teaching. So he's a theater professor in New Jersey at a university. So he was teaching away and he would visit, but I brought and my nannies are like some of my favorite students from when I taught at AMDA, which is my alma mater. So I would teach them musical theater and then I would like sort of pluck the girls and be like, hey, wanna be a babysitter? So they're like part of our family now, which is great. So so I brought one of our trusted sitters with me to Denver and we figured it out. We made it work and she pulled a lot of weight while I was teching and then in previews, rehearsing all day and still doing the show at night. And we were there for, I want to say, 8 weeks, 9 weeks. Mm.
So you've got the sitters, you're plucking your sitters from AMDA, and you've got the nannies, and I'm sure David has been a huge part of the journey as well.
Yeah,
obviously.
I can't do any of it without David. We have such a great partnership that sometimes it's easy to take that for granted. That co-parenting element of my life, because sometimes I stop and think, well, how does anybody do this alone? Alone in our business, but like, how does anyone solo parent? And sometimes it feels as though I'm solo parenting, and yet I never am because David's gone half the week, and so we are often trading off time with Z, but there's no way I could do this job, be the kind of mom I want to be, and manage this like crazy schedule, household, everything without him. Like he's the most supportive and he's right there in it with me. Like it's very equal.
That's awesome.
Which is cool. And I think you find the same thing with your husband, right?
Yeah. Totally. Oh, I mean, Eric is like so hands-on. He's always in it.
Yeah.
You know, unless he's in La Jolla, which he's gone now. But David's gone like 4 days a week or something, right?
Yeah, he's gone 3 to 4 days a week. And then when he's directing this, like in the spring when I'm opening Caroline, he'll be away directing a show.
Oh,
so but then my parents fly in.
Okay.
And like his parents live in the city and they help us a lot. We have like a really good, strong family foundation that helps us. And I'm so grateful for that. And it is absolutely the main reason I can keep my head kind of level. Because you can pay people and you can trust people with your kid, but when you've got family around and when you've got a partner that you know you don't have to think twice about.
Totally. Kara and I say that all the time. We're like, we have great husbands and we still get frustrated or feel like we're taking on the whole, you know,
But we're so lucky
we're
to
so
have
lucky.
Them. Oh my God.
Because there are some guys who just aren't. And so.
Yeah. And I think that's something great about being in the arts too, is like, we're all used to the idea of change all the time. Like we're used to not knowing where our next job is and when it'll be or when we're losing our current job. And because of that, it lets us like pivot in our lives a little easier and kind of roll with the punches. And that's a great skill to have when you have a kid. Mm-hmm. But so for both parents to be in the business in some capacity, like it is for me and David, and I know for you and Eric, like it's so nice to not have to explain the business end of things to your partner. They just get it. They're in it too. They know. And they can sort of like pick up the slack, and you can do that for them when it's your turn. You know, it's a nice thing to have.
It's awesome. The ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. Teamwork.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the thought of teching and previewing.
Yeah.
And being Elsa and just, I mean, and we sort of, you know, I know we laugh about it, but it's true. Like the pressure, you know, Disney is no joke.
Yeah.
You know, and Frozen 2 is now, I think, the most popular animated film of all time.
Is
like,
it really?
You know, highest grossing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Frozen was this juggernaut and the expectations that people had of who was going to be Elsa and how are they going to do Let It Go and this and that. And first off, I just have to say, you have to Google Casey if you haven't already seen her, but you have to Google her and watch her sing Let It Go on the Tony Awards. I can't, when you take it up at the end, that's crazy. First off, that's amazing. And,
thanks, girl.
But I remember being at like the Tony rehearsals, and you guys, this is a side note, but we'll get back. But we were at Tony's rehearsal, and you rehearse in the morning on Sunday. You have to do a whole run through of the Tonys. So I was there with Summer, and you were there with Frozen, and I'm in the house of Radio City, and Frozen is rehearsing theirs, and it's literally like 8:30 in the morning, 8:30 after a two-show day the day before, and they're gonna have a matinee that afternoon, and then be on the Tony Awards that night. So this is an epic day. And I remember Casey doing it, and she sang her face off, sounded incredible. It was awesome. And everyone's cheering. And I like literally texted her. I was like, I'm crying. I was shouting like, yes, mama. Yes. And I was saying to people, I was like, she probably got up at 6, you guys. This is insane. Like she was mom. And then she came here and she did that. I was just so proud. And, you know, as not only as actors, but as mothers, like how hard. I know the life that you had before you even got to that rehearsal, and then you were going to be mom, and then you're going to do the matinee and probably see Z for dinner and then go to the it's just insane. And you sounded incredible. And
thanks,
I was just
girl.
Like, friend, girl power. Yes. I was on such a high. I was just so.
That's amazing of you to say.
I was shouting at you.
I loved that text. I remember when you sent me that text.
I was just like, that's amazing.
Yeah. You know what? I was like, if I don't do this riff at the rehearsal, in my matinee as well, I won't have the nerve to do it that night.
Yeah.
So I made myself, I think I did it in all the shows leading up to it that week too, just because I was like, if I don't just make this like ain't no thing,
right, yeah,
then I'll chicken out at the last minute. Yeah. And I knew I wanted to give a little something extra. So I made myself do that. And actually it was almost scarier to do it in the rehearsal, not just that it was in the morning, but because I knew
it's
all my friends were out.
I know, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's always, that's the hardest part is like singing for people you know. So you know that everyone's
like, oh, well, I haven't seen the show yet because it conflicts with my running schedule.
Right.
So like, what do they have?
Let me show me what you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the judges.
But it's funny. It's mostly in our heads though, because mostly everybody out in the crowd is doing what you were doing. Like you're cheering each other on. And actually you do feel that on the morning of the Tonys, but it's very pressurized.
But we put our own pressure on.
We're all crazy.
The people I hate singing for the most are the people I know.
Yeah. Oh,
1,000%.
Especially when you can see them, like all the house lights are up in those rehearsals and you're like, oh, could you just dim the audience so I don't have to see who's out there?
Right, exactly. We'll go back to Frozen, but something I want to talk about, because this is what I meant to ask you earlier and I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
Did your voice change after Z was born? And also, I know you've spoken about vocal health and what you went through. Like, if you could talk to us about that, and then if you felt a change.
Totally.
Yeah.
When I was doing First Daughter Suite, I was singing in more of a legit place anyways, more of like a legit musical theater place. And as we know, like, as we get bigger and bigger in our pregnancies, like, our organs literally move out of the way to accommodate the bump. Mm-hmm. And it affected my breathing a lot during that show. So I felt it then while I was pregnant. And I had to find a different way to breathe into my ribs and stuff to get like enough room to support vocally. And then also after giving birth, I definitely felt with the hormone drop off that my whole immune system felt like kind of low. I mean, first of all, you're not sleeping, you're nursing, you're pumping, you're doing whatever you do, or you're bottle feeding, whatever you do, fed is best. But you're, you know, in a fight or flight mode for so many months, and your body's trying to recuperate, and it definitely affected my singing as well. So, like, also I was rusty, like I hadn't been singing every day. So going in for those auditions or singing at a couple of concerts that I did, like, it didn't really feel like my own voice. Mm. And I went back into voice lessons just so I could, like, you know, have a little tune-up. And the vocal health stuff was majorly part of it, because I was also taking, from my C-section, like, a ton of ibuprofen, which is terrible for your voice. And I have a history of hemorrhaging, and the ibuprofen is blood thinning, so I was really wary of taking it for my pain, even though I really needed it, because I was worried about how it would affect my voice. So there was a lot, and even just those sentences I've just said are very, like, stressful to hear. So then you imagine, like, living through all of that and trying to, like, balance what's good for you as a mom, what's good for your body in this healing mode, and then what's good for your career.
And trying to match up.
They totally don't. But you have to figure it out. Like, you have to sort of, like, sacrifice in one area in order to benefit in the other. And it's sort of like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, it's a bit of a gamble. And, yeah. Compromise. Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And what have you done? I mean, having a toddler, I mean, also he's grown from being 1.5 to now almost 4. Mm-hmm. So major
development.
Yeah. Needing your attention, communication,
waking
talking,
up very early.
Waking up very early. I mean, and to have been on an HO week schedule as Elsa with the weight of it all, not just vocally, but just to be the face of Disney. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, you've been doing appearances and all these things.
Yeah.
What have you found? How have you been able to manage that? You know, like, pulling back? Because you can't not talk to your child.
Totally.
He needs, you know, because I'm sure back in the day, it'd be like vocal rest.
Yeah.
You but wouldn't talk during the day.
Not now.
No, you'd sleep till 10.
Honestly, I don't know how this has happened as well as it has. And there's been moments that have not been great. But, like, overall, I think sheer will is, like, the number one thing. Mm-hmm. And then having really good systems in place, like, I'm really an organized person, and so I'm a little type A, so, like, I definitely have a spreadsheet of babysitters and how it all works and scheduling and everything, and, like, that without that it would be impossible. But even with all that planning, as we all know, like, that goes out the window when the kid is sick and has to be home from school all day, and you're in previews and you need to scramble to find coverage, or you need, and your kid hasn't seen you in 2 weeks because you're previewing and rehearsing all day, and so you got to get someone who can bring him down to the theater, or you got to go home in between rehearsal and curtain, but you need PT, or you need your voice lesson, or you need a nap. So there's definitely tears involved. There's definitely deep breathing. But I think my body, I don't know, I'm sure you guys can
speak
to this. It's
in go mode. This is just moms yep. make it happen. Hashtag moms make it happen.
That's right.
I like that hashtag.
I like it too.
We just do it.
You just wake up at 5. Yeah. You have the child.
Like, moms can never have a sick day.
Totally.
Right? You just push through.
Yeah.
People at the theater are always like, you know, because they'll be going out, which I mean, we're getting older, so we don't tend to go out that much anymore anyway. But, like, the kids will be going out, and I'm like, you guys, my alarm goes off at 6:45 for Elliot to go to school. And they're like, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, you just do it.
You just do it.
Like, just know you're going to have to do it. Like, that's what it is.
And your body sort of, like, accommodates. Like, I think that, there are many nights where I get 5 hours of sleep at the most, and I still go sing Let It Go and all the other stuff. And it does work, weirdly. But I think it's part of that. I think there's something that shifts in you, like, on a molecular level that, like, accommodates all the things you need to be to all the people.
Yeah. Totally. I wanted to ask you, because talking about previews and tech and everything, I've heard, well, Ann Court talked about this at a women's council meeting that Ann Court, who runs Disney Theatricals,
she's the best.
She's incredible. Awesome. She is a mom, and she is making changes and trying to make headway in a lot of different ways. And hopefully we'll have her on one day.
Oh, my gosh. She's awesome. She's one of the most inspiring women and people
in
this business.
She's fantastic. She touched on, she mentioned that when you guys were about to open, that Z was sick and they got you a room. Because we have, like we were talking about, Elsa.
Yeah. I had booked myself into the Row Hotel across the street from the St. James. I had made a reservation for, like, 2 weeks around opening just to have, because I knew that I would need to be in good voice. And at that point, Isaiah was barely sleeping. I mean, he's always in some form of barely sleeping mode, but and I knew I couldn't get sick and I couldn't have like nursery school germs and, you know, the children cough into your mouth. And so I was like, I can't have that happen, but I also need to see my kids. So I thought, oh, if I could like control the environment a little bit and like be home with him when I needed to be, and I could hug him and kiss him, and then I could go sleep somewhere else and not inhale the same germs. And it's always hard for me to ask for help. Since I've become a mom, I'm a lot better at it. I realize you can't do everything by yourself. But before becoming a mother, I would never dream of asking a producer for anything like that or any accommodation. I wouldn't want them to think I was weak or couldn't do it or have any doubts that the person they hired wasn't, you know, able to do what was expected of them. But I think Anne had come in on a particularly raw day, and I was maybe a little tearful with her, and just also, you know, the pressure of opening, coming up and wanting to be the best I could be. And she was like, well, what can we do? We're here for you. Like, how can we help you? Like, you're our Elsa. We want to make you. And she's also like, and, you know, I'm Anne, you're Casey. It's not just about like, I'm your producer, you're my Elsa. It's that, but it's more than that. I'm a mother too. I get it. Mm-hmm. Your husband works away 4 days a week, and you know, you've got a roster of babysitters rotating in. Like, how can we allow you to do your best work on stage? And so they helped me with that hotel room.
That's
and
amazing.
It was something like I will never forget.
Yeah. That's what changes, right? Mm-hmm. Too. And to have the support, and this is something we talk about just with equality, like women and the workplace, and
having someone in that position and who could give you that, and who could understand your journey a little bit better than someone who hadn't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause that. I don't think that there's a resistance to that kind of leadership from male producers. I just think that it doesn't always occur to them. I think they're absolutely like wanting their teams to produce the best work they can. And had I gone to Tom Schumacher and said those things, I'm sure he would have had the same reaction, but I just would never have dared to. Mm. And because Anne is a mom and we just talk in a way that I don't with everybody else, that came about because of that. And that's just like that, having that leadership from someone who is so empathetic, who's also a woman in the industry, who's also a mother, who's also just an open, kind human being, like open to receiving what her team needs from her. Like that made a huge difference.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Holla for Anne Court.
Yeah, Anne Court, we love you.
For sure. Well, you're coming to the end of your time at Frozen. I cannot believe you've done it for so long. I remember when you were like, I just signed on to February 2020. And I was like, oh my God, that was in November of 2018.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, and I remember thinking, that's so far away.
Yeah. And now we're here.
And now we're here. Cause time is crazy.
Cause time speeds up.
It does. It really does. So as you close it out, you know, what memories will you have? Or like, what will you take with you? I mean, what a time.
What a time.
Like for your child, as a mother, as an artist, and to have something. It's so rare in general for us to have jobs that we do for so long.
Yeah.
But
it really is. Even just thinking about like the pocket of time for Z, it's like his toddler years. And now he's like almost four and going to be moving into like a new phase of his life. And you're going to be moving into a new phase of your career, which is so.
Yeah, I totally measure Frozen by him and his age. And so because it's the first time I've done a show that's not geared to kids, but is geared to kids. And for that to be the one show I've done as a mom is so fun and interesting. And so it is all like kind of tied up together, but it's weird. It's the longest I've ever done any show. And I feel like, you know, Patty and I, we really feel like we created this thing. And
for sure,
you did.
Not in a like pat myself on the back way, just like it's so nuts to be leaving it. Not in a like, it's mine way. Just that it's crazy that it happened at all, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think now I'm doing a lot of trying to like be so. Sounds so ridiculous, but like be present in it. Like when I'm in the wings about to go out, I'm like, pay attention, mm-hmm. be here now. I say be here now a lot to myself right these days because it's going so fast and I have a bunch of like outs coming up for concerts and stuff. So I'm not doing every single show till I'm done. So the ones I'm at, I'm really trying to like appreciate them. And but the pictures and the memories and Isaiah being backstage and playing in the snow in the audience with him after the audience clears out, these things are things I will never, ever, ever forget. And it's good vibes in that building. And Patty and I, you know, I'll take her with me.
Yeah.
She's become a real sister.
Oh, my God,
sister.
You guys are like
yeah, couldn't have worked out any better, really. Yeah. Kind of shocking. But like another great example of women supporting women, there was never, ever a moment of competition or weirdness. And we made it our mission for that to be so, but it also naturally just kind of happened that way, which is great. And
well, you're both wonderful. Pretty good cool people.
Yeah. Well, and we also like had lived enough life prior to getting mm-hmm. these parts where we weren't super ego-y about them.
Right.
Which helped. But yeah, like our stage managers, I love them so much. And my dresser, Fran Curry, who, oh my
Fran.
God. You know what? Let's talk about Fran.
I know. Yes.
Because as a mom, our backstage crew and our, especially our dressers who see us like when we come in and we dump our purse down and we got to get into our tights and our Spanx and our whatevers, and they're with us every change off stage. Mm-hmm. They really like see how our daily life unfolds, I think, in a way that other people
they're
don't.
They're like therapists.
Yeah. They really are.
Inevitably, you're like talking to them in the dressing room and telling mm-hmm. them things, and they see the tears and they see the...
Oh, they see you're most vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, literally,
literally
naked.
Truly.
Emotionally
yes.
and physically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like 2 nights ago, Isaiah was having a really rough bedtime with the babysitter. And I had to call him when I was changing into Let It Go. So he's on speakerphone. Crying, I don't want a babysitter. I want mama. And I'm literally like putting on the sparkly dress. Fran's dealing with my mic, so I got the wig on. And I'm like, I know, honey. I want to come home too. Just like trying. I love you so much. I'll be home in 30 minutes. You know, it's okay. Just trying to tell. I'm going to sing Let It Go. Do you want to sing Let It Go with me right now? Nope, that didn't work. But so Fran is like helping me finagle into this costume. I hang up with him. We go out. She throws water at me. I go out. I sing the song. I come back off. I have to call him back. He's still screaming because, of course, I've checked on the camera, which I watch obsessively. We call it ZTV. And she hears another conference call with, you know, conference call, so businessy. Another, what's the speaker call? Thank you. And, you know, I'm hanging up and she's like, oh, God, how do you do this? You know, and I'm like, I don't know, but thank God you're here because I can, like, you know, I'm leaning on you. And she really is there for me in such a real way. Like, she's a doctor, she's a dresser, she's a therapist, she's a friend, she's a sister. Mm. And she is a big secret weapon as far as how I've maintained this role in these 3 years and, like, gone on stage every night and been a mom. I feel very grateful to her. I love her very, very much. And she's amazing at what she does, but she's also just a kick-ass woman.
She really is. Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so... Shout out to your dresser. That's really lovely.
Yeah,
That's awesome.
It's nice to have a forum in which to sing her praises.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Thanks for that.
We'll have to tell her.
Yeah.
As you look towards your next role, oh my God, you don't have any double duty, right?
I do.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't think you would.
I know. I was like, maybe.
Like, this had to have worked out.
Yeah. I start rehearsals February 3rd. So, my last 2 weeks of Frozen, I'll be rehearsing all day at Caroline.
Okay.
So, I'm going to just take that one day at a time.
Yep, yes. Absolutely. And know that it will be over at some point.
Yes. It's finite.
Yes.
Caroline, our change producers were great in that I was like, I can't come in on the 2 Mondays. So, because the rehearsal day off is Sunday, but I have 2 shows Sunday. Mm. So, for those first 2 weeks, I will not rehearse.
Good
on
for
the
you for knowing that.
Yeah,
you know,
and good
forward.
For you for asking.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And speaking it, you know, I think there's something also so empowering, right, about being like, this is what I need.
Yes.
And then when they give it to you, you're like, oh, they value me as the artist and who they're hiring and as a person and my well-being. And
yeah, because it was like I need to wrap up my time at Frozen as best as I can and giving it the attention and the love and the skill it deserves. So I'm not going to compromise the end of my run for the start of a new run health-wise.
Right.
And all of it's health, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not just physical health for your voice. It's mental health. It's not about, like, having time to, like, hang out with my kid, although, frankly, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to need those Mondays to be silent. Like, I'm going to send him to school and be silent, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it was cool that they realized that it wasn't just, like, a consideration they were giving me, but they were giving it to Frozen, too. They were acknowledging the work I'm doing there and saying, cool. Okay. We can make this work. That's a reasonable request and true. Like you do have to ask. Like my manager always says, you don't ask, you don't get.
Mm-hmm. So true. But it's also, I mean, did you have any trepidation about asking for those kind of things? Or are you in a place now where, cause I, you know, we asked for things. There were things I asked for and I was so nervous. And
I remember Michael's wedding.
And I was like, oh my God, are they going to give it to me? Yeah. And then they did, which was so lovely. But I think like the wedding, but also like things with mom. I find myself not wanting to ask for things that have to do with being a mother.
I hear you.
Because that's different, right? Like anyone can ask for like, oh, I have a wedding,
right,
or I have whatever. But when you go to them and you say, I need this off for my child, or I need this off as a mother, then you worry like, oh, is it going to put a label on me? Are they going to think that
I'm never going to hire me
exactly
again?
Exactly.
This is something that actually really needs to change in the industry, because the fact that we even worry about that is total effing bullshit.
Yes.
And agreed. I also worry about it, but we shouldn't have to, because it's not about like, oh, we're allowed to be mothers, but A, we are, but B, when you hire an actor, you're hiring a whole person.
Yeah.
As we know, like our day ramping up to the show is tailored to the show. So people that live in the middle of the country that don't understand what we do when they visit and see this, you know, they're like, what do you do all day? You have all day free. And then you get to, and you're like, no, actually, like everything I eat, everything I do is in ramp up to the show. But they're hiring a human being, and we come with children. Mm-hmm. Some people come with dogs and they need to hire dog walkers, you know. Some people come with commutes where they don't live five blocks from the theater and they live in Jersey or wherever they live, and they drive in or they train in, and sometimes New Jersey transit sucks, and then producers have to deal with that too. Yeah, fair. But it's like, this is part of who we are, so.
But and it's an industry, I mean, it's a business first and foremost. Yeah. Clearly we know that, but it's an industry that is built on, you know, telling stories about the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
So who are we not to support the humans around us in every way that we can in telling those stories, you know?
Totally, totally. Yeah. I think it's something that is starting to change, even just what you two have done with running Broadway Baby Mamas and bringing visibility to what it is to be in this career as working parents and working mothers. And
thanks.
That has done a huge amount for the industry, just that it's being talked about by people who aren't parents, because they know that what you guys have started is a thing now, you know, like, and the meetings you've had with ANCORT and the meetings you've had with Equity and trying to change our union and give us more rights. I mean, there's so much that needs to be done as far as like maternity leave, but also I think back to when I first got pregnant during the ramp up to First Daughter Suite rehearsal starting and the fear I felt, and that shouldn't exist. Like, the maternity leave or lack thereof policies in our union should be in plain view as far as, like, on the website. They should be talked about on the first day of rehearsal meetings. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be something that you have to covertly find out.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to change, like, now. That needs to change, like, 5 years ago.
This is the year 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, in some ways, it feels like we're going backwards. But
some ways, yeah.
But that's why I think visibility is so important. And that's something that, you know, we just... Kara and I are thrilled. Like, there are many people now that continue to work as mothers, and we have to change the conversation.
And not that people didn't before, but I do think women felt...
I think there were fewer, too.
There were definitely many fewer, but the need to feel like you needed to hide the fact that you're a mom. And we should not have to hide.
No, because we're all still showing up and doing 8 shows a week at night.
Right?
We're all still hiring babysitters to put our kids to bed.
Right.
So that's fine. We're down for that. We'll sign up for that, but we also need the other end of things to sign up for helping us to get to the 8 o'clock curtain every night.
I know someone at the stage door last night was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how you guys do this, which my track and Tina is not that physical, but I'm not exhausted. But they were like, I don't know how you guys do this. Are you just going to sleep in the morning? And then I was like, no, I've got a 5-year-old. I was like, I'm going to get up at 6:45. You know, I was like, no. She'll be up.
And then they just stare at you and you're like, okay, bye.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're superheroes.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Oh my gosh. I
mean, you are the definition of a superhero.
Yeah.
Real. I mean,
and also that costume change and Let It Go. I mean, let's be honest. That's like about as close to superhero quick change as you can get.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Big ups to the crew guys who do all of the, literal heavy lifting. Oh, I just stand and brace and belt, and then they do the quick change.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty really awesome. Disney knows what's up. They know how to make a moment matter.
Mm-hmm. Make the magic, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think we covered a lot.
It
was awesome.
It was a good chat.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Casey,
ladies,
for being here. Yeah.
Thanks for doing this.
I appreciate it. Anytime. Yeah. We love it.
You got a wonderful energy about you.
Thanks. Truly. Likewise. It makes it easy to talk about all these things and fun. And exciting, because I feel like we are on the brink of making some changes in our industry, and it's fun to just have a small part in that. So thanks for letting me chat.
Of course, anytime.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, subscribe and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.